Classical Spotlight, and speaking with Sebastian Lang-Lessing. Good afternoon.
John. Hi, John. Great to have you here.
We're in the middle of our pledge drive, so people have been calling in, and we're all excited. It's going to end up Friday night here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then the concerts are this weekend for your first concerts for the subscription season.
Exactly. So, yeah, so it's an exciting program, I think. I think it's one of the most exciting programs we have this year, but I'm going to say that every week. But this one is really, I mean, terrifyingly exciting, I think. Berlioz Symphony Fantastique never stops to surprise you. Never, ever.
Yeah, and it's one of those, he was such a great orchestrator.
Yeah.
And it's a very early work of
his. It's one of those things, you know, he got it right from the very first moment on. I mean, it's really fascinating how he changed Beethoven's world, you know, about Beethoven. And actually, in a way, it's a piece that could have been written 100 years later and would still be a modern piece.
Yeah, there's extra things that you'll hear. You'll hear one thing, a theme that keeps on coming back.
Yeah.
Sometimes varied.
Yeah, the idée fixe.
Yes.
So he's, you know, this thing that you can't get out of your head. This idée fixe, which is the main theme, that speaks of his beloved one, the one she rejects him, and that's the reason for him to take the overdose of opium, which of course in that case wasn't enough to kill him, but enough to give him these hallucinations.
Yeah, and this is something that of course Liszt ran with, this idea of program music.
Yeah.
Richard Strauss built upon
this piece a lot. I mean, Till Eulenspiegel would not exist with this piece. And, you know, also they were brothers in mind, you know, Berlioz's famous book on orchestration, the second edition was edited by Richard Strauss, and he added new examples to it. So I think Strauss's orchestration is very much based on Berlioz's first ideas.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat because we're not too far away from Halloween.
Absolutely. That's why we also run this Facebook campaign. So please come to our Facebook page, like it, look at it. There are always new pieces of information. We're going to keep it very animated and new designs. Look at my picture as a Twilight character. Yeah, it is very much Halloween, you know. So we have especially the Witch's Sabbath at the very end, I think, is very much... it's a spooky piece.
And it's a great show-off. I mean, there's two harps, there's lots of big tuba, all this
two
sort of stuff.
Two tubas, four trumpets, the two cornet, and then of course, last but not least, there are these enormous bells that we had to bring down from Dallas. I mean, this set of bells is an extremely expensive piece of art. But you need it for the Symphonie Fantastique because it's real church bells, so they are very heavy, and they make a hell of a sound, you know, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you guys are going to start off with something completely different and a whole different mood of this wonderful piece by Tobias Picker.
People
might have heard of American Travesty, a wonderful opera.
American Tragedy.
Yeah.
American Travesty. It's the offstage production of it. The American Tragedy was done at the Met, and the American Travesty is more off-Broadway.
Right.
But Emmeline, you might know, he's writing a new piece for Dolores Zajac in San Francisco. And, yeah, now the fantastic Mr. Fox and others. So he's a really very eminent opera composer and going to be the new artistic director of the Opera San Antonio, which is great and a wonderful person and a great guy to talk to and, you know, really interesting. I mean, for me, it's very interesting. I got to know now a few American composers, and so I'm going into that American composing scene. I spent a few days with John Coriano because I was recording the final scene from Ghosts of Versailles with Rene Fleming in London. So, and you know, it's great to meet these people and discover this music. He wrote it in 1986, so it's quite an old piece, an early piece, I would say. But it's this beautiful atmospheric piece that describes east of Texas, two rivers, the old and the lost river, and then they meet, and it's the old and lost rivers. And you know, a Texas rivers are, one day they're there and the next day they're gone, you know, and you see just what was left of the river. And then it's the flooding and they become really, really full of life. And that's a little bit about this piece, you know, completely lost and, you know, see the sun maybe only through the shades of the bush, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, not too many people knew that Robert Schumann wrote a violin concerto, and Joachim held on to it and had decreed that it should be held for 100 years. Of course, when people found out about it, it sort of came out ahead of time. Have you worked with Béba Skrede before and Skrede?
Béba and me should have done already a lot of things. But I always dumped her, you know. I invited her to my orchestra in Tasmania. I think we should have done Sibelius or something. And I had to cancel it due to an engagement that took longer at LA Opera. And then we should have gone on tour, and then the European tour was postponed. So I really owe her a lot. And so I'm really happy she's coming. She's a fantastic artist, a wonderful musician, and a great violinist. And she picked the Schumann concerto, which of course works very well with Berlioz. And Schumann reviewed the Symphonie Fantastique. It was one of the first ones to write a raving review about the piece and saying this guy is going to change the world. The Schumann concerto is one of his violin concerto is one of his last pieces. And Clara didn't want to publish it, Clara Schumann, because she thought, now he's really gone mad. You know, this is not possible. And she thought, and it was ahead of time. But when you listen to the second movement, which is so gorgeously beautiful, you hear Gustav Mahler speaking. I mean, it's like Mahler came out of the ashes of this, the last days of Schumann, and resurrected out of this. You know, and basically, Mahler was born right after Schumann died, and you can really feel this. It's the birth of Mahler, this piece. What always causes problems for a lot of violinists is the tempo of the last movement, because he writes a very slow one, and then it feels too slow for the beginning, but at the end he writes really extremely fast notes. I always say, you know, take the approach, it's a carnival piece. You know, he lived in Düsseldorf, and in Düsseldorf, carnival is the most important season of the year. That's why they always say they have five seasons. You know, winter, spring, summer, carnival, and autumn. But it's a fantastic piece, and I'm really happy. It fits so perfectly in the program, and it will showcase it very well.
Yeah, and I think poetically there's something as we sort of look towards the Brahms Festival. Schumann was such a big influence and such a big help, him and Clara, that it's sort of nice to have this along the way, that we're going to hear the Brahms Violin Concerto, we're going to hear all these great pieces.
Exactly. I mean, if you see my programming, there is actually a line that goes across all the programs, also then the programs following this, you know, the French program or the French-Spanish program with the Rhapsodie Espagnole, the De Falla, Spanish Gardens, and of course the Bolero. And in the middle we have the famous Debussy Nocturnes. And then it links into the next program, which is then the jazzy side of French music, the Ravel Piano Concerto, paired with Copland's Rodeo. And then bizarrely finishing with Jupiter Symphony, but not if you look at the orchestration of both pieces and at the spirit of both pieces. So it's very much in this, along these lines. So I think the ovation and the applause here is, I try to combine the programs that follow each other in a way that people actually think, oh, wait a minute, it makes no sense to only be a subscriber to one series, because I'm missing out on the, you know, it's like a season in a sitcom, you know? You can't just miss one
show. Or one show, episode, yeah. Well, we're happy you're here and back, and Looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be a great season, and I'm excited. The orchestra's in great shape, I think. Already.
New contract, ready for the Tobin, all that sort of stuff.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Good.
All right.